Welcome to Behind the Story, a program where we take you straight to the source. In this episode, we'll talk with the Waco Diaper Bank's founder, Ellen Filgo. We talk about her inspiration for starting a local diaper bank, about diaper need, and how poverty plays a role in all of this. After that, we'll talk with the National Diaper Bank Network's executive director, Joanne Goldblum. But first, we'll hear the original story KWBU produced about the Waco Diaper Bank. According to research published in 2013 in the Journal of Pediatrics, more than 30% of mothers surveyed struggled to pay for diapers. Additionally, more than 8% of low-income moms reused soiled diapers on their children. These numbers stuck with Ellen Filgo, an e-learning librarian at Baylor University Libraries, who established the Waco Diaper Bank this year.
There is no existing federal or state social safety net program that allocates money towards diapers. And you cannot buy diapers with food stamps, with SNAP. You cannot use WIC to purchase them. And they're very expensive. And it's not like you can tell your child to stop peeing and pooping. You know what I mean? It's not, you can't say, oh, you're going to need to cut back on that this month or something.
For these families in need, there are several existing social service programs in Waco. However, the emphasis of these organizations isn't specifically diaper need, but it is a secondary resource offered. And that's where the Waco Diaper Bank steps in. Filgo says they'll follow a collaborative model and work as a diaper liaison of sorts, collecting donations of diapers to supply to existing social service agencies and organizations that already work with families in need.
So if they're working, you know, maybe their main focus is hunger or homelessness or abuse or pregnancy or whatever it is, diaper need comes along with those kinds of things. People who can struggle to afford food are going to also struggle to afford diapers.
One in three American families report experiencing diaper need. That's according to the National Diaper Bank Network, which also estimates that disposable diapers can cost anywhere from $70 to $80 per month per baby. However, some have suggested cloth diapers as a more economic alternative, but the initial cost for switching to cloth diapers can prove to be more difficult, especially for families in need. Pamela Markham is the director of Clara's Children's Center, ECI, a group that helps children with developmental delays. She says that diaper need is a concern that some of the families at Clara's face.
I think it's just kind of assumed that people will have food and shelter and clothes and diapers. And that just simply isn't always the case.
The Waco Diaper Bank begins its community-wide diaper drive today until December 14th. To see a list of drop-off locations, you can visit wacodiaperbank.org. And now, we'll hear more from the Diaper Bank's founder, Ellen Filgo. This conversation was recorded November 24th, 2015. Ellen, where did you get the idea for establishing a local diaper bank? Where did that come from?
Sure. Well, there's actually there's a lot of diaper banks around the country. And I actually sort of stumbled upon one probably just in my kind of random librarian searchings of the internet. I happened to come across the Austin Diaper Bank. And I sort of looking at their page, and I realized that what they were doing was something that I thought Waco really needed. And this was probably early this year, maybe late last year. I can't remember exactly when it was that I found this page. But the idea just kept sticking in my head. Like, this is, you know, so what they do and what the Waco Diaper Bank will do is the organization that will collect donations of diapers to distribute to existing social service agencies and organizations that already work with families in need. So if they're working, you know, maybe their main focus is hunger or homelessness or abuse or pregnancy or whatever it is, diaper need comes along with those kinds of things. There, you know, people who can struggle to afford food are going to also struggle to afford diapers. That's not their main mission. Their main mission is hunger or homelessness or whatever. And so what we're going to do is we're going to focus on diapers so that they can focus on their main mission. And part of the thing is that we're also trying to raise awareness of what diaper need actually is, because I think sometimes people, if you haven't had kids in diapers for a long time or you've never had kids in diapers, you don't realize that it can be very expensive. I mean, it can be almost, you know, $100 per month per kid to purchase diapers. And there is no existing federal or state social safety net program that allocates money towards diapers. And you cannot buy diapers with food stamps, with SNAP. You cannot use WIC to purchase them. And they're very expensive. And it's not like you can tell your child to stop peeing and pooping. You know what I mean? It's not – you can't say, oh, you're going to need to cut back on that this month or something. It's something that's really needed. And so what happens is a lot of times with families in poverty is that they will end up leaving their children, leaving their baby or their infant or their toddler in soiled diapers for longer just to, you know, make things stretch, or dump out the contents, reuse the diaper. I mean, there's lots of things that will happen when people can't afford for diapers. I've heard stories of people who have put their, you know, they have an older child, but they are in smaller size diapers because you get more of them in a package. And so, you know, you can get more for your money. And so therefore you're going to put them in smaller size diapers, even though, you know, that doesn't work very well. So it's, you know, it's a big need. And the thing is that when a child is in, you know, in a soiled diaper for longer, then, you know, they're at risk for all sorts of health problems, rashes, infections, and irritability. You know, I mean, if you're, you know, one of the reasons why your kid cries a lot is because their diaper is messed and they need a change. And, you know, and often I've read some studies that talk about how, you know, a child crying for much longer, you know, period of time can actually is one of the causes of child abuse. So, you know, it's sort of like stop crying, you know, and then something happens. And so that kind of, you know, soiled diaper for longer might even also lead to child abuse. There's lots of problems for maternal child attachment. There's some studies that were done in pediatrics, the journal Pediatrics a couple years ago, that talked about those kind of, that actually measured sort of maternal depression. And diaper need was one of the factors in that. And yeah, so there's just lots of issues. And then there's the issues of things that maybe you don't even think about, like if a parent does not have disposable diapers to send to a childcare facility, and the vast majority of childcare facilities require you to provide diapers with the child, if you can't afford that, you can't then send your child to childcare, which would allow you to then go get a job to help your family get a better footing economically. So there's so many different kinds of sort of snowballing effects of diaper need. And so what we're hoping to do at the Waco Diaper Bank is to help to alleviate some of that diaper need by providing diapers to these social service agencies that work with families in need.
You know, in town, there's a substantial collective effort to address and redress poverty issues. Is the Waco Diaper Bank another means of accomplishing that? Like, it's not just diapers that are being provided. It's kind of a lot of other things that follow from that.
Definitely. I mean, that was one of the things that when I first heard about the idea of a diaper bank, my first thought was there's so much poverty in Waco. Diaper need is going to be an issue along with that. But also one of the things that I liked about the model that a lot of these diaper banks are doing, we're working with existing agencies, is that Waco already has a host of amazing agencies that work with communities of poverty. I mean, so the model that the diaper bank has is collaborative and, you know, trying to support them. So, you know, that's one thing I thought. I mean, especially with Prosper Waco and Prosper Waco's initiatives to help in the community, sort of help bring more of a collaborative mentality, I thought this is something that's going to be, you know, that it's going to fit right in with the Waco community that's already working to alleviate poverty.
Now, can you tell me a little bit about the diaper drive you'll be hosting?
It's our December diaper drive. And it's kind of for two reasons. One, we want to sort of just raise awareness, first of all, of diaper need in the community, but also raise awareness of the fact that the Diaper Bank is kind of launching. I mean, it's sort of a soft launch almost of the organization. And we're people are still contacting us to become drop-off locations, but we've got, maybe 10 or so locations that people have already signed up for, several churches, some businesses that are said, okay, we'll just have a box out during the time. And we did it for 2 weeks rather than just like a day drive, because some churches won't be open during the week and some businesses won't be open over the weekend. So anywhere, you know, it's all covered throughout those 2 weeks. So people can just drop off diapers. We will take, you know, any size diaper, any brand diaper, we will take, you know, any size package. We'll take loose diapers. I've had people who say, I was watching my grandson and he grew out of these. I had a bunch of diapers at my house, but he grew out of them and we have this extra ones. Can I give them? And I'm like, yeah, absolutely. Open packages, loose diapers. I had someone contact me who wanted to give the remnants of a diaper cake. Do you know what that is?
Yes.
From like at a baby shower? Yeah. Like they had a bunch of ones that were, again, that probably grew out of. And they wanted to, can we give a diaper cake? I'm like, absolutely. We'll take a diaper cake. So, so that's.
Any and all.
yeah, exactly. And a lot of times too, I didn't go into this earlier, but a lot of times, so like places like Caritas, for example, and that's where we're going to be, the donations that we're going to get during this diaper drive are all going to go to Caritas.
Okay.
And Caritas and other places that I've talked to around the community, they already give out diapers. That's something that, like I said, comes along with lots of other issues, whether it's hunger or homelessness or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
So they already give out diapers, but they're really just reliant upon whatever donations they get. And sometimes they don't have enough of certain sizes. A lot of times larger sizes are ignored, and they're really in need of larger size diapers for toddlers.
Mm-hmm.
And so since they're kind of just reliant upon whatever donations, whether that's irregular, you know, here's some diapers, or maybe they put out a special call, we want to be the place that provides a regular source of diapers for the people that they're working with.
In talking with some of these community organizations and establishing these connections, did these groups mention, did they give you an idea of how much they need diapers?
So I didn't get a lot of numbers. But although I met with the people from CareNet, mm-hmm. and they just sort of like, oh, yeah, well, they look up in their database. We gave out 5,000 diapers in August. I mean, so,
wow.
Again, there's a place, too, that they're working with, you know, these young mothers. Or other mothers that, you know, that need their services. And so they also, diapers is a part of that as well. And so they threw out some numbers there too. And so they said, yes, this is needed. You know, Caritas said this is needed. Shepherd's Heart said they can't keep them on the shelf. You know, there's so many different places. And as we've been sort of growing awareness of the diaper bank, I've had other people, just other organizations come out of the woodwork saying, this is something we do. Like I think it's called the Rainbow Room that the Junior League runs. It's to benefit CPS. It's like the kids who are in Child Protective Services. Uh-huh. And so they actually give out a lot of diapers there too.
Okay.
And I have a list of people who have told me about different organizations and stuff that I would like to contact once we're up and running.
Cool.
And so eventually we will have basically partner agencies that will do it. And I'd like to start small and then grow rather than promise diapers to everyone and not be able to provide. So we're going to start with a couple of organizations. I'm not sure exactly who yet. Mm-hmm. Probably Caritas, since there seem to be that's who we're benefiting first. But and they're a major player in town too. But so we'll have partner agencies that we will work with, and we'll work on how many they need and what sizes and whatever, and work on that. So we're also just trying to find some storage, and I mean we're still everything is kind of getting up and running. It's just kind of all. It's very overwhelming just because it's getting an organization up and running and everything and program is when I also work full-time
yeah.
raise two small children myself, so. But
that's
yeah.
actually what I was about. So you have two kids?
I do. Oh, yeah, okay. I have two kids. One is almost four and one is almost 20 months.
So down the road, what's in store for the Waco Diaper Bank? Are you going to set up a physical location eventually?
Yeah, we're working on that. I mean, we need to be able to get some monetary donations that we've been able to, rent some storage and places like that. But we're working on that. We'll be fundraising and other kinds of things. This is sort of the part of getting the organization up and running too, that is keeping me up at night. So I mean, and part of the thing, one thing that was really great that actually helped us a ton was we got an amazing fiscal sponsor. So my church, which is the Episcopal Church of the Holy Spirit, came aboard as our fiscal sponsor so that we can have a place to collect donations tax deductibly. I'm not sure if that's a word. We can get tax deductible that we can get tax deductible donations through them so that we can operate, I guess. And so we don't have to actually build up the 501c3, because that's very, we would like to be our own 501c3 nonprofit organization, but that will come in time. And so right now we're sort of being almost like an incubator. They're sort of taking us
through the church.
Through the church.
Oh, mm-hmm. Okay. I see.
Yeah. And that's actually one of the things that's been absolutely amazing in this whole thing is the National Diaper Bank Network. And so they are a national organization that kind of, and they, you can, you know, diaper banks can become members. And they have this amazing technical manual called So You Want to Start a Diaper Bank. Oh. And honestly, I've been reading it through it like the Bible. It's just sort of like, this is how you get started. You know, this is what you should do. And one of the things, the decisions that they said was, do you become your own organization or do you find a fiscal sponsor? And we thought for our situation, what we would do is we would find a fiscal sponsor.
For the time being, mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. Interesting.
Yeah.
So that's the National Diaper Bank.
Yeah. National Diaper Bank Network. Yeah. And so, and we will eventually become a member of them, which is great because with their membership comes, they have access to micro grants and bulk purchasing. So if you get a big donation of money, you can actually purchase diapers for a whole lot cheaper, which you can then redistribute. So that's part of the thing too. So diaper drives will be kind of the main way that we like to collect donations of diapers, doing a diaper drive, having, you know, if there's like a Girl Scout troop or, you know, a company or whatever that wants to host a diaper drive for us, the proceeds that will come to us, which we will then redistribute. That's going to be hopefully the main way that we will be able to get diapers. But we can also, if someone wants to give money, we can then use the resources we have through the National Diaper Bank to purchase at really, really low costs diapers as well. So that'll be really exciting.
And now we'll hear from Joanne Goldblum. Goldblum is the executive director of the National Diaper Bank Network. The network connects and supports the country's more than 275 community-based diaper banks that collect, store, and distribute free diapers to struggling families. To start off, Joanne, I want to go back to 2011 when you started the National Diaper Bank Network. Can you explain to me what the climate for diaper need was like at this time, and what's the growth you've seen since then?
Sure. Well, is it okay if I go back a little bit further than that?
Yeah, go ahead. That'd be great.
So I started the New Haven Diaper Bank in about 2004. And I'm a social worker, and I was working as a social worker at Yale Child Study Center doing community-based social work, so home visiting with families. And New Haven is a, you know, a small sort of post-industrial city. You know, it's a pretty poor city. And so I was doing home visiting, and families had all sorts of issues, but the thing that I saw over and over again was the level of poverty that even as a social worker, I was shocked by. And one of the things that I saw over and over again was this lack of basic needs, and it showed itself in a lack of diapers and a lack of toilet paper, a lack of soap, shampoo, laundry detergent, and things like that. And I became a little bit obsessed and decided that I would start giving people diapers, start giving diapers to agencies that provided services to families in New Haven and see where it went. And from there, I was very lucky. I think that when you think about the climate, what was going on at the time, and where I was very lucky that in New Haven and in Connecticut, it was a time that people were interested in learning about this. So while there were some other diaper banks in the country before that, I was not the first. I was able to get a lot of national attention. And I think it's just a lot of happenstance, happened to be at the right place at the right time. And also I had a state representative, Rose DeLauro, who represents New Haven in Washington, was very supportive and had some colleagues at Yale who were very interested. And we were able to really bring the issue of diaper need to a much higher level because of the public relations and the media we were able to get. And so in 2010, I was contacted by Huggies, and they had seen a small piece about the work that I was doing on Good Morning America, you know, a very small piece. It was like, you know, one of those weather minutes where they talk about somebody who's doing something good. And they were interested in doing a small donation. And after talking to them for a while, they became very, very interested in the issue of diaper need. It was really something they had not thought about before, and they hadn't really understood. You know, they understood that there were lower diapers at a lower price point, but they hadn't really thought about or you know, put their heads around the idea that there were families who couldn't afford diapers at all, that there was this issue of diaper need. And they brought together a group of us, 10 diaper bankers from across the country, who came to Chicago and met with some Huggies executives and these 10 different diaper bankers from all across the country and talked about what it would look like to create a network across the country. And we met together for about a year before we decided to create the National Diaper Bank Network. And we did that in large part because what was happening was, as the issue of diaper need was becoming more apparent in the country, more people were starting diaper banks and everybody was reinventing the wheel. And the small group of us who had started diaper banks were getting calls from all over the country saying, you know, how did you do this? Or can you help us do this? And all of us were running very small organizations, most of us working at other, you know, full-time jobs while we were doing this, and weren't in a position to both run these organizations and help other people to start new organizations. So with the support of Huggies as our founding sponsor, we created the National Diaper Bank Network in 2011. And I think that the climate at that time has really been ripe to talk about, learn about, and find different ways to support families who are struggling. One of the great things about the issue of diaper need is that it really is not very political. You know, you're talking about babies, and most of us can agree that we want babies' basic needs to be met. So I think that in a way, in a time where there was a lot of fracture among issues or within issues, this was an issue that was much easier for people to think about and talk about. Does that make sense?
Yeah, that makes sense. Is it that widespread interest in addressing diaper need that got a piece of legislation eventually introduced back in November? And for those that might not be aware of the legislation, can you talk a little bit about it and what it means for providing diapers?
Sure. It's actually very exciting. So and it's called the Hygiene Assistance for Families of Infants and Toddlers Act of 2015. The legislation is amazing because what it would do and what's so interesting about it is it's federal grant funds, but states would create, administer, and evaluate programs. You know, so every state could decide how best to support its own residents, which is something that I think a lot of people really support. And we know that the money and the place that it would be housed is through the Temporary Assistance for Needy Families, TANF. And TANF is a much more flexible mechanism for funding. So it really allows, its purpose is to support families that are working who need extra financial support. And it's meant for people with young children. So it really fits in every area. You know, when we first started thinking about legislation, we had thought that maybe the right place to try to add diapers would be SNAP. No, supplemental nutrition, what we used to call food stamps. And what we learned in really doing a lot of research was that that's not the answer, because the way that SNAP regulations are written, it's really just about nutrition. And while many of us think about being able to go to the supermarket and buying what we need at the supermarket, and sort of I think that's why a lot of people think that diapers and other hygiene products would be allowed under SNAP. You know, just it doesn't make sense. Mm-hmm. And to change those regulations, especially without adding funds, would be incredibly difficult and detrimental to families.
So is this kind of the easier route, establishing a different means of addressing diaper need instead of revamping existing government assistance programs?
Yeah, I wouldn't say that it was easier, mm-hmm. but I would say that it makes a lot more sense. You know, from a layman's point of view, SNAP makes sense because we think, well, you go to the supermarket and you use your credit card and you buy things, right? But from the standpoint of programs, federal programs, it doesn't make sense because the money can't be used that way. And to change regulation is really difficult. You know, this bill, I guess the reason I say it's not easier, you know, I think it's going to be pretty hard to get this passed. And there are a lot of elected officials and individuals who don't think that we should be paying for anything like this. But while it may not be easy, I do think personally that TANF is the right vehicle. Because it's temporary assistance for needy families, right? And part of the reason, when you go back to why I became interested in the issue of diaper need and why I focus so much on basic needs, many of our governmental programs think about big picture things. So temporary assistance for needy families requires parents to work. And to varying degrees, there are subsidies for child care, but there aren't subsidies for diapers. So if we need people to work in order to receive the benefit, we need to make it possible for them to work. You know, so many of our programs, what I always say is it's the small things that impact the big things. You know, something as small as a diaper can be the difference between being able to go to work and not being able to go to work. And if it's something that simple, why don't we take care of it?
And I'm wondering, Joanne, is the disinterest, and maybe that's not the word I'm looking for, but is the disinterest of some elected officials the biggest hurdle for diaper legislation and just getting the word out about the importance of these diaper banks?
So, you know, I don't know if it's a disinterest. I think that there is across the country many individuals and elected officials really feel a certain sense of anger towards people who struggle financially. Mm-hmm. And so that's often what we hear is that, you know, that's not what money should go towards, that somehow paying for diapers is encouraging people to have a baby that they don't have enough money to necessarily meet all of their basic needs.
Now, going forward, I'd imagine you'd see the growth of diaper banks across the country continuing. But how do you promote that growth and awareness?
Well, that's a great question. You know, in part through things like this. You know, we've been very lucky to have a lot of really great media coverage of both the National Diaper Bank Network and of local diaper banks across the country. There's been great stuff. One of our diaper bankers was recently, one of the possibilities as CNN's Hero of the Year. She's actually on our board of directors and is the founder and executive director of the DC Diaper Bank. And so things like that happen for local diaper bankers across the country. We also try to raise awareness through the legislative work that we do, and both specifically with this bill, for example, and trying to have other bills like that, and also by trying to be a presence in the world of policy work related to children and families in poverty in America. We do that by going to conferences, by writing papers, by, you know, being parts of those, being at the table with people who are thinking about these things. And really what our little voice at that table is saying, you know, all of these big things are really important, but let's just remember, to provide diapers and toilet paper and laundry detergent, as well as these other big things.
Joanne, thanks for talking with KWBU today.
You too. Have a great day.
Joanne Goldblum is the executive director of the National Diaper Bank Network. Earlier in the show, we heard from Ellen Filgo, who founded the Waco Diaper Bank. To hear this episode and past episodes of Behind the Story, you can visit our website at kwbu.org.